Brian Summers is the airline business reporter at skift.com. He's with us every Friday here on the program to talk about aviation and travel. And today we've got a couple of good topics, including the possibility of a new U.S. airline coming in the scene and personalization on airlines taken to the next level. Brian is with us via Skype from Los Angeles this morning. Brian, let's start with JetBlue. The founder and CEO of JetBlue is talking about starting a new airline.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. JetBlue founder and former CEO David Neeleman has decided, apparently, that he wants to build a new U.S. low-cost airline from scratch. This was according to a report earlier this week from a trade publication called Airline Weekly. It's pretty interesting because, of course, it's been about 11 years since a new U.S. airline took flight. And, of course, that airline doesn't exist anymore. That airline is Virgin America. So you have to go all the way back to 2000 and JetBlue to find a new entrant that's still around. One of the things that you have to remember is that the airline industry is a very tough industry. It's easy to lose a lot of money if you don't know what you're doing. The good news is that David Neeleman has started a lot of airlines. He knows exactly what he's doing, and I think people are pretty excited that this is actually going to happen. People may know that after JetBlue, David Neeleman actually went down to Brazil, created an airline there called Azul. It's another successful airline, so no reason to count him out here.
So, Brian, what do we know about the possible name of the airline? Any other information?
There's a working name, apparently, called Moxie. I'd be surprised if that's actually the name of the airline, but we'll find out. The other news that came from Airline Weekly is that this new airline will probably fly from secondary airports outside major cities. So that means you probably won't see them at O'Hare, but you might see them in Milwaukee or places like that, Burbank near Los Angeles where I live. So we'll have to see. But it's good news for consumers.
What kind of airlines, airplanes are we thinking they're going to run? Is this going to look like any of the other airlines we see?
Yeah, the report said that they were actually going to buy this airplane from Bombardier called the CS-300. It's a relatively new airplane. I don't think there are any of them flying yet in North America, but we'll see them soon. It's about a 120-seat airplane. It's very quiet. It's supposed to be very comfortable. There's two seats on one side of the aisle and three seats on the other, so very few middle seats. Delta is supposed to be the first airline to fly that in the United States, and I think that will be within a couple of years. So a very good aircraft. It's not like they're going to start out flying with 30-year-old airplanes like some startups do.
There's some news about American Airlines. They're down doing a little bit of downsizing.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody knows that American Airlines went through a big merger with U.S. Airways almost 5 years ago. And what happens in any sort of merger is you have vice presidents and managing directors and things like that from both sides of the company. And the airline or whatever company it is just gets a little bit fat in the management ranks. So American told employees this week that, you know, they're going to trim some fat. They didn't say exactly how many people would lose their jobs. They said they try to get to whatever number they're thinking about via attrition and things like that. But, yeah, I mean, some of this stuff might be involuntary. The good news is American says that no jobs will be cut that face customers. So you will have the same number of customer service agents and things like that. It's just in the headquarters in Dallas-Fort Worth, you'll probably have fewer executives.
Notice that the story says that the title of director or above. So that's good news for frontline employees.
Yeah, they should be fine in this. And American needs its frontline employees, so I wouldn't expect too many cuts there.
Do we expect this to become a trend? Are the other airlines, do you think, maybe going to follow suit in this area?
United actually did it about a year and a half ago, and they had the same issue. They had gone through a merger with Continental Airlines. The airline got a little bit fat and happy a little bit after Oscar Munoz came in as CEO. He reorganized the company, and lots of executives just sort of left, or you know that they use this euphemism in all these big companies. They say that somebody retired. It doesn't matter that that person is like 42 years old and goes to get another job. Technically, they retire. And so I think we'll see some retirements also at American. But every large company needs to do this every now and then. Otherwise, you know, they just become too bureaucratic and too big.
Brian, there's another story out there, and I guess this is something that we should all just assume, but how much information airlines have on us and how they're using that to personalize our experience when we get on the on board.
Yeah, there was an article this week in the Wall Street Journal that was sort of interesting. A lot of us have been following the topic. It's really about personalization on board the airplane. So I think everybody knows if you fly on most airlines, the flight attendants are carrying these handheld devices. They're often iPhones, and they use those iPhones to sell you stuff on the airplane, snacks and things like that. But increasingly, those iPhones have a little bit of information about each customer. So they know if you're a frequent flyer, they know how often you fly, they know if you're an elite member of the airline's frequent flyer program, and they also know things like your birthday. And this was something that was a big deal somewhat recently at United, because the flight attendants will know if it's your birthday and you're on board. They don't know the year, but they know the date. And so they can just come over to you and they can say, you know, happy birthday. And some people find that creepy and some people find that cool. And nobody has found the line yet. I'm not sure that we will. I guess United is leaving it up to flight attendants to decide when it's a good time to do this or not. But I was talking with somebody at United a couple weeks ago, and she said, you know, the birthday thing is a little bit weird, but especially for frequent flyers. You know, 100,000 miles is a very big deal. So if you're a road warrior and you fly 100,000 miles a year, you feel really good about yourself. I know that sounds weird, but people get into it. And so if you're on an airplane and the flight attendant knows from their handheld device that you're crossing over the 100,000 mile threshold, and the flight attendant says thank you, almost invariably the customer gets really excited. It's like, hey, I'm crossing over this wonderful threshold, 100,000 miles this year, and the airline is recognizing it. How cool is that? So some people like it, some people don't, but I think for the most part, people like that sort of thing.
Well, I'm curious what you think would be the creepy line. If for instance, one of the flight attendants came up and said, hey, Brian, I know that you like to drink tomato juice. Here's a tomato juice. Is that where it gets creepy, or does it get creepy when they ask about your family?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think everybody has a different idea of what is creepy. I spoke to somebody at Lufthansa recently, and he said, you know, yes, the airline knows if you've ordered a vodka tonic on every flight for your last 10 flights. But is it really such a hardship for the customer to ask for it an 11th time? Do you want that flight attendant to put down the drink before you ask it? Or should we just go old-fashioned and, look, I ask for what I want and I get it? Again, I'm repeating myself here, but everybody has a different line, and it's so hard for airlines or any company to know what that line is. So I think airlines are treading carefully with this idea of personalization.
Well, as somebody who flies for fun, I have to ask this question. We're always feed to death, all of these fees. I could see where they could charge a fee for this at some point, or no?
Hard to tell. Yeah, I really don't know.
All right. Brian, always good chatting with you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers is the airline business reporter at Skift.com with us via Skype this morning from Los Angeles. Make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Summers and Skift as well at Skift, S-K-I-F-T.